This is the Aftermarket Radio Network.
Welcome to another episode of Speak Up Effective Communication. I am your host, Craig O'Neill. Thank you for joining me here on the show on the Aftermarket Radio Network, focused on our communication and leadership skills. And I have to tell you, I'm excited about the conversation that I'm going to share with you in a moment here. But before I do, Anita, I've been on something of a journey lately. A marketing conference in June with the Institute. We got to hear about marketing strategies and all the things. I've been challenged by my CEO here at Autoflow, Chris Cloutier, to engage and understand and begin leveraging AI tools, not for imitation or any other nonsense things like I've talked about in the show, but to truly understand them and be prepared, because these are necessary things that we have to evolve with in the world today. And that brought us to a Grand Rapids Tech Week event that myself and my local Grand Rapids colleague from Autoflow, Scott Werner, we went to this AI efficiencies and workflow thing at Grand Rapids Tech Week. So it was just a local thing. And I got to see marketing individuals there on college campus, hear from some of the professors who are in engineering. I got to hear a great deal about how some marketing professionals are doing workflows, not too much on strategy. But I was viscerally aware that, wow, like some of these people that are there teaching the kids are still a little new to some of the AI. Some of them have some interesting insights, but their time was mostly spent educating people on the basics of it as well. And like, all right, college environment is still catching up the same way that our professionals in this industry are. What's that mean for these students coming in? That means they're seeing things eye to eye with career professionals right now as they enter the workforce. And so lo and behold, I had an email early in the week with Jeremy Glasgow, a founding sponsor of this podcast, whom I appreciate very much. He's been a guest on several episodes. Definitely listen to Jeremy in the Jungle, episode 6, Raised in the Jungles of New Guinea. But his company has grown enough that he is now expanding roles, and he invited Quinn Butler to join him, and she's in the onboarding and is now confronting the problems that are facing auto repair shops fresh out of college. A student who went through college during the time that this new AI technology has been emerging. And I think, what an interesting perspective. And so enjoy the conversation that I have had with Quinn. I hope it's insightful for you. By the way, we do have a word of the day for today. That word is sanguine. Happens to rhyme with the name of our guest. Sanguine will be defined for you after we hear a word from our sponsors who make this show possible. Ready to reduce stress and start paying yourself and your team well? Achieve your goals with the Institute's personalized coaching. Visit weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. Your partner in technology, Autoflow is able to enhance your client interactions before, during, and after the visit from a single thread. To see how Autoflow makes it simple, visit autoflow.com. Your trusted companion, ShopDog Marketing, is right by your side, attracting the best customers and building long-term growth. Call ShopDog Marketing today or visit shopdogmarketing.com. Unlock your communication insights with Inbound's AI-powered call analytics for auto repair shops. Learn more at callinbound.com. Are you passing along credit card fees to your customers? No one likes that. Express is the only 0% fee alternative to credit card surcharging. Visit myexpress.io. So the word of the day today is sanguine.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
So we have Quinn Butler as our guest, and we have sanguine as the word of the day. It's a great word. It's a formal word that today is almost describes someone who is confident and hopeful, something that shows confidence and hopefulness. So sanguine can also describe something that is blood red in color, something involving or relating to bloodshed, or a person's reddish complexion. But sanguine in this particular context, I'm going with that confident, hopeful. And that is why I like that word for today. So we'll see. Yeah, sort of a cheery and confident thing. And I think that's, Jeremy said you were Jeremy 2.0.
Yeah, it's a high honor. I'm not sure if I'm quite there yet, but one day, hopefully.
Yeah, well, that already says a lot because the 1.0 baseline model is a pretty cool guy.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
How did you find him?
On LinkedIn, actually. I was, you know, on the job hunt search and yeah, stumbled upon my position that I'm currently in. And
so you guys are a remote team, though, right? No home office.
Hybrid.
Oh, did he create an office that he forces you to go to?
Honestly, I am a big fan of the hybrid schedule. I kind of like the balance of it. I think if I was fully remote, I don't know if I would enjoy it as much. I kind of like being able to come in and collaborate and then have the remote day balance as well. But yes, he does have an office. It's, yeah, very cool.
Yeah, I used to work with him, as you probably know, on the team at Autoflow. And we're a fully remote team, but I did have opportunity to be with Jeremy in person on a couple of trips. And it's just fantastic being in person and have that synchronized communication in person, the brainstorms that can happen and the dialogue that happens more fluid and natural. Remote's a little bit more deliberate. I feel like you feel the same when you're in the remote mode.
I agree. I think obviously with like today's day and age, there's like Zoom and Google Meet, which makes it a little easier, but I definitely am a bigger fan of like the in-person. It's just kind of easier to have that mutual understanding and learn as well.
For me, it's a lot more enjoyable space. I like the conferences I get to go to, being with people at the same time. Now, your generation, you've recently graduated college. So what year did you graduate? Just recent? Very new?
Yeah, in May. So 2025.
2025. All right. That's new. Welcome to the career force, I guess.
Thank you. Thank you.
One of the things I was interested in talking about, I know you've recently joined Jeremy Glasgow at AppField, which is awesome and exciting. I love what he's doing there. I love his mind. The way he thinks about things is super cool. So upon seeing you join him there, I was like, hey, that's really exciting. See his team growing. And knowing Jeremy, I know that this is just such an excellent growth opportunity for you as well. And I think from what I have seen, new to the automotive repair side of things as well, which is the market that we address.
Yes. Yeah. New to all of it.
Yeah. So when you were in school, did you ever imagine yourself getting involved in auto repair industry solutions at all?
No, it wasn't top of mind necessarily. It kind of just fell into it, to be honest.
A lot of us have. So yeah, I was born and raised in it myself, and Jeremy found his way to it in his unique path. Everybody seems to. It is one of the largest industries around, really, automotive in general. But it doesn't surprise me. But what did you study? What was your main study objective?
Yeah, so I studied marketing in college.
That had to be exciting. Are part of a generation that I feel like was uniquely situated at a technological revolution that we're going for towards right now. AI was probably even towards the, I don't know. Did you run into it in high school at all? Probably was barely on the radar.
Depending on what you consider AI, like I would use Grammarly to help with like essays and kind of polish up grammar, and then Quizlet. That was probably the extent.
Yeah. But it wasn't like AI is going to write your paper AI with the LLMs that we have today. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
But that is exactly the climate that you started to see in the college environment. Not only were you recently exposed to that as a student, but at the same time, simultaneously, professors, this is a new technology, everyone being exposed to it all at the same time. And then you have marketing professionals teaching you all of the things they're trying to teach you. And now there must have been this sense that they were like, well, here's the textbook. This is obsolete now. Was it like that? Or are the concepts and everything else that you're seeing, are they correlating? Just describe for me like what your experience was as this technology revolution is starting to occur with conventional methods of teaching.
Within the 4 years, I definitely saw a shift in how the AI was talked about and like presented with my professors. At first, my junior year, it was kind of like they'd acknowledge it in like the syllabus. They'd be like, I'm aware of AI. Don't use it. Don't touch it. We don't want to see it. Like all of that. And then my senior year, I remember I was like the first time one of my professors acknowledged AI in like a beneficial way where it wasn't like, oh, hush, hush. Like we know about it, but don't use it. I remember I was writing a paper and they had us kind of input our notes and the paper topic into AI and actually have it write it for us first and then paste that into the document. And then after, we had to like kind of expand on those ideas to write our own essay. So my senior year is when I saw the shift between we don't use AI to let's use AI in a beneficial way.
That's good to hear. I was just on a college campus myself this week. Our city of Grand Rapids here in Michigan was hosting a sort of an unconference, they call it, but Tech Week. You have to sign up for each individual class you go to. The ones I was at a college campus. So I haven't been on a college campus too much recently. It was really weird, actually, being there. Lots of kids wandering around. I was sitting in an area doing a web meeting before the conference, and there was this kid playing Minecraft on his laptop in the common area. It's like, well, that's different than my earlier experiences.
Yeah, times have changed.
Yeah, another kid was sitting there playing his Nintendo Switch with his portable game. It's like, all right. But I was there to meet with adults from a marketing agency, actually, this AMA group, and the concept was on AI efficiencies in workflow. So marketing workflows and AI making those more efficient. And it was interesting to me to be on college campus in a room full of adults in their careers, fully established in their careers, and an audience that did involve many of the college age students who are going into marketing, all eye to eye. This is new stuff that's coming out. You're entering into a career field at the time that everybody already in that career field is forced to be able to reckon with and start leveraging these tools, which means that you're being new at this time, not a disadvantage. It might even be an advantage. And I think that's kind of exciting for your generation. Is that kind of the perspective that you guys are feeling as you're entering the workforce?
I would say it's a little bit of a double-edged sword. I think it is definitely very exciting to see the progression of AI and how it can be a useful tool and help us expand professionally and in the workforce. However, it was kind of scary when you're freshly coming out of college, those 4 years you learned and excited to come into an entry-level position or a starting position in the workforce. And all over the news, it's saying that AI is taking those entry-level jobs. Yeah, it's kind of a little scary, especially because if AI is taking those entry-level positions, like the youth needs to start somewhere. And it's kind of like, how are we expected to grow into those high-level roles if we don't have the opportunity to start somewhere? It's a bit of a double-edged sword, I would say.
Yeah, and that's interesting. My kids are they've just finished high school. My son's quasi-interested in college because he's going into more mechanical nature things, skilled trades. Actually, you've probably started to notice this too. One of the best things about auto repair right now is like, we can't get enough help. Like, if you really wanted to pick up a wrench, you'd have a job. And that's the thing. I feel like there's this shift that high schooler counselors are going to have to start taking, like, okay, college route, there's this. But I feel like marketing, I know for a fact it's eliminating positions all the time. Development, I'm in a software company. Jeremy's in a software company. There's AI that's doing the coding. And I think you nailed it. The junior level positions are the first casualty of this new technology. And that does, it does sound scary. Is that a sentiment that's been shared with a lot of your contemporaries as well? Is sort of like, gosh, what are we doing? What's going to happen?
For sure. I think there is a lot of fear transitioning from graduating to like the post-grad era, if you would say, just kind of filled with fear and uncertainty. But also at the same time, it's kind of like we thought the world was going to end when the year changed from 1999 to 2000s.
Y2K.
Yeah. So with this like surge of new technology may come new roles, new positions, and you know, who knows? So
yeah, that's the optimistic outlook, but I think it's fair. And one of the books that I've picked up recently too, I've been talking about a little bit more, is called The Coming Wave by Mustafa Suleiman, one of the CEOs, founders of DeepMind. It was a United Kingdom based AI company, the one that made the AlphaGo program that made a lot of news and arguably kickstarted an AI race that the world will never slow down on again. His whole point is really, you articulated one of those things. Like, you had to wrestle with what we would consider some of the tail end consequences of this new technology, which would be potentially loss of jobs or loss of entry level positions. Those are consequences that society is slow to catch up to. Like, this is coming. It's not going to stop coming. Society as a whole needs to start addressing those sort of issues and be focused on the problems that could come so that we can realize the potential and all the positive things. the term was pessimism aversion. And I'll be talking about that more in upcoming episodes too. But this idea that it's wrong or not right to think about those tail end consequences. But when you're facing those real potential consequences, obviously it's not wrong to acknowledge them and overcome. Interesting. Well, you're raised on digital communication though. So this is, I think this is where I see like your generation, my kids' generation, and really the era in between us, anyone that I'm an elder millennial, but I think the millennials, Gen Z in general, have an advantage of that. We've been raised in a rapidly accelerating digital technological environment. We're used to adapting. The only difference on this one is the speed of adaptation is going to have to get, our ability to adapt is going to have to pick up the pace a little bit even further from what we're used to. So yeah, digital communication, that side of things. My kids' school is still wrestling with phone policies. You've already wrestled with AI policies. Did you ever run into the phone stuff too? Or is that just kind of, no one cares in college? Yeah, college doesn't care still, right?
Like phone policies, like being on your phone or?
Not allowing it, not allowed in class, this and that.
Yeah, I didn't run into that in college, but my high school was very strict about it too.
Yeah, that's good to hear. More schools, I think, have picked up onto that. But I would say that, like, you've been a digital native probably for communication from as long as you can remember. How old were you when your parents allowed you to have a phone?
I started with a flip phone because I was just kind of on the bus and like on my own a little bit. So the flip phone, I think I got that in sixth grade.
Okay. Yeah. Smartphone later.
Yeah. Smartphone, I think eighth grade, maybe.
Everyone's engaging them younger and younger, it feels like, all the time. There's starting to be a push away from allowing access to it, I've noticed. But this is where it gets really interesting for me with what Jeremy's doing, because Jeremy's very much in the app space, app field, designing solutions for shops to have their own custom applications on a smart device, ideally. Not everyone is quick to recognize that apps are such a thing, but in your opinion, pretty natural thing to pop on your phone, right? What's your take on this? Like with auto repair shops, though, I feel like this is the things like who wants an auto repair shop app? And you're going face to face in both recognizing all this technology. You're in a new market here and you're starting to onboard shops that are like, okay, how should we do this? What's your approach for helping shops recognize value in an app? Speaking as a digital native yourself.
Kind of just focusing on that it's more than an app. It builds loyalty. It builds retention. It instills customers want to come back to the shop and be reminded of what service change needs to be done and when. Because I don't know, for me, I know I'm not super on top about like my car's health and all that. So having those reminders is beneficial and helps drive up that revenue.
Yeah. Well, I'm not on top of what Starbucks' latest new drink is either, but my daughter put this on her phone and now she sees this alert for this new method of customizing her own drink. She'll go and do it on the app and that gets her to show up and go buy a Starbucks drink. And little things like that are habitual for her at this point.
It's a great and new way to talk to and communicate with your customers. And yeah, and just get them, reel them back into coming into your shop.
The top shops in the industry don't stop at one location. At the Institute, we work with shop owners who want to expand, whether it's opening a second shop, acquiring new businesses, or building systems for long-term growth. Some of our clients are aiming for hundreds of shops, and we're helping them get there. Ready to scale? To get started, visit weareintheinstitute.com/business-assessment. It's time for today's Suck Less Spotlight from Autoflow. Today's spotlight is on advisor eye twitches. Listen, clients like to stay informed throughout the repair process, and studies indicate clients are most satisfied receiving text updates versus phone calls. But call you they will, interrupting everything from estimating to quality conversations and your game of solitaire. That is, unless you text them first using Autoflow. With Autoflow's automated text update, your phone only rings for the right reasons. That way, with less phone interruptions, your eye twitch will definitely suck less. For this and more things that could suck less, visit autoflow.com. Ready to boost your auto repair shop's success? ShopDog Marketing is here to help you. We put customers first using AI to create standout content that ranks. Harness the power of mobile first and voice search and let our expert team help you. Sweeten your revenue with more car count. ShopDog Marketing offers a free guide on using AI to drive more repair orders. Get your guide today and watch your auto repair shop thrive. Visit ShopDogMarketing.com. Inbound has exclusively served independent auto repair shops with expert communication solutions for years. Now, our robust VoIP platform ensures you stay connected while our industry-leading AI analytics take your business to the next level. We provide the tools you need to understand your customers and optimize every interaction. Choose Inbound. For proven expertise and unmatched innovation, visit callinbound.com and discover the difference we can make. Credit card surcharging sounds effective, but is this single most damaging action to your shop in the last decade? If you're surcharging, you're tarnishing your reputation and losing customers as we speak. Express is the only 0% fee option to surcharging that your customers already know how to use. No tricks, no hidden fees, just a smarter way for auto shops to keep what's yours and do right by your customers. Book a free consultation with Express today by visiting myexpress.io and see how the most successful shops in the country are flipping the script on credit card processors. Now, you started to notice that our communication habits in this industry are, I'll say it, I think they're a little dated sometimes. And I've been in the communication space trying to help people get into texting and even calling their clients more regularly. What are you noticing in our industry? Is there any habits that you're like, wow, why is it that way?
I think in other industries, the CRM and checking in with your customers before or after, reminding them of appointments and calling them, it's kind of a second nature. And I think the automotive industry is a little slower to adapt that, and as well as adapt the AI tools that kind of aid in that communication. Again, not taking over the communication completely, because people still like the authentic human connection, but aid and support in building that connection and communication.
I feel like your generation gets this better too. Like, that authentic communication, it seems important to me. There's all sorts of generalizations that people make on generations. Being one of the early millennials, it used to irritate me for years. It's probably the same for you when people say, oh, Gen Z this, Gen Z that. It's like, oh, that doesn't really fit me. Do some of those standards though, like, do some fit and some not fit? And is this one of those areas where, like, you're surprised that people aren't like recognizing this? Like, everyone thinks Gen Z just wants to be on their devices, only wants to do this, and doesn't value authentic, like, synchronized communication. I feel like you value synchronized communication, face-to-face communication.
I would say, yes, we do. I think, obviously, with technology and phones, like, digital communication is bigger than ever, and that is a part of our generation, but we still very much still meet up with our friends. Like I said, I like to come into the office face to face. Like, we value it more than ever because we know the difference between being able to hang out face to face or see others or build connection face to face versus texting or talking over the phone.
Yeah, my kids too, they meet people, they go and have fun. And it's like, there's this vision I feel like a lot of the world has right now of this totally online generation. And it's not reality. There is a lot of time spent in the reality. And just like any generation, they're going to value that sort of stuff. So it seems pretty simple to me. But one of the things I missed, I wanted to discuss too, Quinn, you did just start working for one of my all-time favorite philosophical minds in this industry. Jeremy is top five, probably top three individuals that if I just want to have a great conversation, I can do. So what is it like working with this Socrates-like guy? He probably asks tons of questions all the time, right?
Yeah, honestly, working with Jeremy, it's great. I feel very grateful to be able to learn from him. He is very intelligent and fast-moving, and I'm learning something new every day, and so it's a lot of fun. He does ask a lot of questions, but I'm also the same way too. I ask a lot of questions too. So sometimes our meetings, they can they can go on with both of us kind of back and forth.
Do you answer each other with a question a lot?
Yeah.
That probably is very fun. So you're fresh to this industry. You're dealing with a lot of the problems that any of us that are in software and in auto repair are dealing with. I'd be curious if you have any questions for me related to the line of work that we both find ourselves in for this industry. A reverse question of the host, if you will.
What do you think is holding back the automotive industry from adapting these AI tools and the tools that kind of aid in customer relations and building retention and that have been proven to kind of show those benefits? Do you think it is kind of the unwillingness to adapt new tools, or do you think it's something else?
I do think it's something else. And I think it's largely a bandwidth issue. You run into that yourself where shops are overwhelmed with chaos?
Yes, I have. I've seen that. Yeah.
Yeah, this is still one of the chief issues as we were talking earlier. Yeah, as these AI tools come on and the fear of other career tracks losing mind. I mean, you could see accountants, lawyers, doctors, highly trained professionals seeing their roles diminished potentially by AI, unless they learn to leverage AI themselves very effectively to make their role more valuable. That is not something that our industry has yet really had to grapple with, because we have physical things in front of us right now that need to be dealt with by our own hands. And that makes it slower when you're first off too chaotic and busy to try something new. And the thing that you're chaotic and busy with is not something that our machine or AI can specifically help with. The necessity just isn't right there in front of them. And the immediate necessity is like, they're just so busy trying to serve all the demand that they currently have. It's a bandwidth problem overall. And it's no sense of urgency is what I would say to that. Any change that anyone is going to make in their personal life or as an organization, if the team or the individual does not have a shared sense of urgency around the thing that they need to do, they will not move to it.
Okay, I see. That does make sense. That's helpful.
Yeah, and you're going to be confronting that all the time. You'll find that some orgs manage chaos better, or they have better workflows and solutions like at Autoflow, like workflow, like automated text updates. And it's been proven in JD Power. I talk about this all the time. And 2025, JD Power has this aftermarket service index. And I encourage all new adoptees of the automotive repair industry, become an industry analyst. Step one, go and pull all that data. JD Power does customer service reviews of this. They've proven text message status updates make people happier. Shops don't do this on a regular basis. Digital inspections make people happier, but the percentage of times that a client receives one, still very low. Like, we know these things work to make people happier and appreciate our industry more, but they're still slow to adopt from a lack of a sense of urgency. They have the customers they have. That's good enough for them at the moment because there are so many of them, and they keep staying the same because they're successful being the same. It's so hard. Change management, though, this is what I think is so important about the next 1 to 3 years. And I think why your advantage, as I see it, is pure advantage coming into it, marketing fresh as you are from college. The adaptability skill set is the skill set that will determine ultimate success. That and communication skills and being dynamic. And right now, shops struggle on both those things, slow to change and sometimes not the best communicators, which is why this show exists. The thing that I find is so important, though, for this industry is that we continually bring in new people to it, not people that were just raised with it and is familiar with how we did it for the last 20 years, but the people that come into it with the fresh ideas, the fresh perspectives, that they can continue to inspire new directions for us. And that is the world we welcome you into now, Quinn.
Yep.
Yeah, one of the things I wrote down on communication philosophy, working with Jeremy, someone who I think does actually bridge tech and people really well. We talked about this a little bit ago. There's this sort of authentic communication element, and then there's like digital communication. They're almost regarded as two separate things. I don't see them as two separate things. I see technology as the tool and people still just trying to connect with people. And I think Jeremy is one of those minds, like our CEO at Autoflow too. Chris understands this way. Both of those two are really inspirational to me. It's not about having two separate things, technology and then human interaction. People engage and interact with the technology. And so like they're really good at creating these environments where there's a bridge between the technology and the people. And it's not like a barrier. I'd be curious if you ran into this, because when I started even trying to convince shops to do simple text messages 7 years ago, probably almost 8 years ago now, I would hear something to the this extent. They would say something to the like, why do you want me to text my customers? We like talking to them. But that's a false conflagration of things. It's like you're juxtaposing texting to communication. Like texting is an invalid form of communication. Have you seen any other like odd barriers like that? Like, no, like that's keeping me from what's important. It's awesome if you haven't. I would hope that we don't have people saying like, oh, no, that's silly, right? I think it's diminished. I used to see a lot more of it. I used to see those times where like, it was just a couple of years, like, ah, texting. No, if I do need to text someone, I'll just text them from my phone, personal phone.
I think the texting, that barrier, I haven't seen a lot of. That's kind of surprising for me to hear. I guess it is when I'm kind of coming into the industry. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like we fought that battle. We're good. Is what I feel like on that one.
Yeah. You won it. You won it.
Yeah. We've got a new landscape now. And it seems like apps, AI, and now, ironically, getting people to actually pick up the phone and call their clients. Now, that's one of the things you were dealing with, wasn't it?
Yeah. Like you said before, it is a bandwidth issue. That you're right. They do have a lot going on and are busy and have a lot of customers. But also, I think hiring someone to make those calls for you is seen, yes, it is an expense, but it's also an investment in your company and retaining customers and keeping them satisfied. So there is kind of, I think, a disconnect with that, but I think it does fall back to similar.
You're speaking to my heart there, Quinn. I think that's well said, because one of the things that I've talked about for a while is that role of the reservationist, and sometimes people call it a CSR. And like when you tell a shop initially, like you should hire a person to manage this piece, especially if you're a software company and you're suggesting them that sort of thing. Oh, I'm going to pay for software. Oh, and I'm going to have to hire a person. Expense. I'll tell you, my coach, Bob Greenwood, one of the things when he suggested that we were understaffed, I said, oh, I can't afford to bring someone on. It's like, no, you can't afford not to. Why are you looking at payroll as an expense? True or false, Craig? True or false? When you add someone to your business, they add value to your business. It's like, true.
Exactly. Yeah.
What I think is kind of funny is I'm literally finding myself now, Quinn, like trying to get people to stop just doing automated stuff only. And actually do some more deliberate things like pick up a phone to follow up with people, or God forbid, exit schedule before they leave so you don't even have to do the follow-up. Do you think that generationally, you can answer this too, but have people gone so far into the technology that we've lost that skill?
I completely disagree. I think it hits on, honestly, anything with AI. It needs to be used as a tool and not a replacement of human work or stuff like that. I think that's why AppFuel is a great tool, because it kind of blends, it allows human connection, but uses AI to help support it. It loads up, you know, tasks for those shops to make and who to make them to and when to make them. So assisting in who to communicate and when to communicate and like what you want to communicate with them, but it doesn't take over the communication. The humans are still there to build that interaction, build that trust and that relationship. And that's kind of the one thing that AI can't do and will never be able to do, is build those things. So it just aids in that process.
It's a tool that augments our abilities, is what I've come to recognize. I've talked negatively on AI. I've had some debates with Jeremy, even on the podcast, on some things. And where I hate it is when it starts trying to imitate things. Have you ran into those instances of like a AI phone assistant that acts like a person?
I have a little bit. It's kind of like jarring. I don't think anyone likes it, or I mean, it's very easy to recognize. And
I think it is right now. I think it's inevitable. Do you see it like this inevitable thing that businesses are probably going to gravitate towards more and more?
I feel like I have heard some interest in businesses doing that, but I think once they realize that it's not something that their customers would prefer, and authentic, like humans talking and making the phone calls is more beneficial. I think they're kind of realize that it's not beneficial. So I don't know. I don't know if I really see AI progressing into that.
I think there's a lot of marketing agencies that are trying to convince us that the demand is there. And you know what I've heard, which really just, I think it, you're the authority on this right now. You're going to speak for your whole generation, right? They're saying Gen Z is just, they're expecting to be able to have these interactions with AI.
Oh, phone call interactions?
No, AI. Like they're expecting that's like, they don't like talking with people is some of what I'm hearing. They sometimes are intimidated by even talking with people. And so having an AI to interact with and answer questions for them will be more engaging. Like, is that something that even connects with like your reality at all? I don't feel like anyone actually asked that. I feel like marketing is actually like they have a product and a solution in search of a problem.
I mean, I would disagree. I think like there's certain things that AI just can't replace, and there's certain interactions that need to be human and human. And I mean, I think there is AI that's kind of taking over like their self-checkout now and stuff like that. So there has been those roles, but I don't see it taking over other situations.
Robotic things. I think there's some people that are trying to convince people that's something it can handle for you, even though I consider like the phone call, it's not a missed call. It's a missed person is how I see it. And so if you try to take the missed person problem and make it a, oh, it's the call that matters. It must be answered, therefore machine, instead of just the conventional answering machines that it feels like you're dealing with a person. I just, the when you're closed scenario is the thing I hear this on a lot. Like if you call a business after hours, it needs to help them. I don't call businesses after hours expecting help. Certainly not auto repair myself. In our industry in particular, I just don't like it yet, mostly because it's not good. Our boss, Chris, he tried it in his two shops for a while, and I'm still trying to get some of the recordings from him. He described some of them to me, and they sound outright hysterical of the frustration people have over this thing. Marketing company will tell you like, oh yeah, this is the best thing ever. It's going to answer these questions for your clients, but it has long pauses, gets things wrong, all the things that make everyone hate a robot.
Yeah, that's a good point. It does, I think, do more harm than good and kind of negates the purpose of it if it is going to build more frustration and lead to impatience.
I had one hang up on me the other day. I forget what company I was trying to call to get an answer on. Oh, I was trying to get a package mailed to a hotel that I'll be at for a trip. And like, I couldn't find the right prompts and couldn't understand what I was saying. And eventually it just said it hung up on me. I mean, it's terrible.
It was upset.
It didn't like me. That call is important to me. Click. No fun. Quinn, I really enjoyed the chat today because I really, as Jeremy made the introduction there, I thought like, this would be a neat voice to bring in, hear what your experience is like coming in the new space. And again, welcome to it. I think that you have definitely got the right organization and leader in front of you to not have to worry about the tail end consequence of this AI world and all the things. You're a developer of people as well, like my boss, Chris, some of these guys that develop platforms and develop their people. It's really good. Do you have any other insights or anything else you just want to add to the conversation about the tech landscape or auto repair or your recent experiences joining the workforce? Anything else come to mind? Because your perspective for me, I always feel this is still very true. Like your generation, like we were talking earlier in my marketing conference, just to let you think for a second, I was hearing from marketing professionals trying to teach me about AI workflows. And I've been engaging with AI now for several weeks, earnestly for several weeks, obviously dabbling for a little longer than that. But with my focused attempts at getting better with AI in these few weeks, I felt way ahead of most of the people in the room and didn't walk away with too much new information. A couple of tools were mentioned that I hadn't heard of yet, but shoot, you could go ask an AI chatbot right now some of the tools I should consider and it would have given me the same answer. It's like I had this visceral sense, like this panel in front of me. I was even talking with one of the panelists afterwards. It's like, do you think like we could have just simulated a panel discussion with one of these large language models and heard a lot of the same data? Was the panel necessary with the human experts, like for the data, just not for the interaction ability, but for the data? And I think we could have come out with even more information than what the people were able to give us. So we're already out of date is what I feel like. The moment we start speaking on something, something else has changed. It's moving that fast. And that had to feel that way all the way through, didn't it? Like college too? Did you just like constantly think like, here's a marketing strategy? Okay. The human eyes aren't going to hit it.
I mean, I think as a student, you're kind of constantly learning anyways, and constantly, it's just a constant stream of new information. So when I was in it, I didn't necessarily feel that way. Like, oh my gosh, I'll never keep up, because it was just kind of the norm.
Just sponging every piece that thrown at you. Yep. Good attitude.
Yeah. But I think looking back on it is kind of crazy to see, like, I don't know, just kind of like my experience from like freshman year of high school to like my senior year of college, and see how much the technology has changed and adapted, and kind of like my generation, like we had to take on that and learn how to adapt ourselves and utilize that technology. So it is kind of crazy to look back and see the progress of everything.
What about like attention, like digital native? One of the things I feel, I've recently left Facebook. I just, every time I try to go there for real intentional purposes, there's a million other things they're trying to distract me, and it works. I have a strong resilience to a lot of it. But once, like, even reels on Facebook, right? I'm never going to click that. I'm anti-TikTok, never been on TikTok. And one day I clicked on a reel that was of a baseball replay. I really like baseball. And now it shows me baseball things all the time on there. And I was like, crap, I find 20 minutes burned. Like, I went on there for a direct purpose and I went somewhere else. That's the world, like, in a marketing standpoint. And what I do on a day-to-day basis, like trying to train people on a new application or a new process in their auto repair shop. Attention is a commodity right now. Everything's engineered to get eyeballs on it. The social media, the news, any kind of media that comes streaming into our device is trying to capture our attention. So what do we do as marketers with a concept that is important or some information we want to give someone to actually make it relevant for them, that respects their attention? Like, these are the harder problems right now.
I agree. I think in marketing, the industry has had to adapt as well to be fit with the attention span and make it quick and easy to understand and to instantly.
Which means not deep and not informative. Yeah. Surface level, quick, exciting.
Yeah.
It kills me. Honestly, I think it's killing everyone's attention spans even further. And this is what's so funny to me. And this is one of my takeaways from that marketing conference, is they were talking about workflows for marketing, but the strategies that I was hearing are still some of the same old strategies to improve SEO, create organic content, how to create organic content using AI so that you have a blog on schedule every time. And like all these things that people are starting to do, since everyone can make content immediately, content getting thrown out there. There's not enough eyeballs to even look at all the content being made.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's just another constant stream of information. And yeah, I think it is difficult because it's everyone kind of try to level up each other, and the bar just keeps getting higher and higher. And like you said, there isn't even enough eyeballs to see all the content that is out there.
No, it's a game people feel like they have to play in order to show up in a search result. It's like they aren't even writing the blogs to expect eyes on it. It's actually for the algorithms. So they like you. Yeah, drives me nuts. It's like, and independent repair shops, you're dealing with a lot of independents as well, I know, and probably some other size organizations. Boy, they're competing with some large groups that have calculated and organized and cohesive marketing campaigns and strategies. Like, you go back into this little thing, like, what's the best advantage that an independent shop might have? And I constantly go back. It's like, you can't go beat search results for large organizations that have way more marketing budget than you, or way more people leveraging AI tools than you could. Where do you go? I always feel like it's the local solutions and being part of the community and all of those elements on it. I know that's Jeremy's heart too, so I'm sure you're getting a large dose of that.
Yeah, I think there's a certain aspect that small organizations have, that like a sense of family and community. You're right. That's kind of unmatched and hard to beat.
Well, it's good to hear your perspective is going to be, I think, influenced by Jeremy, plus your own wisdom that you've accumulated through some really interesting times in school. And now you're just getting right there into the trenches and working with this industry. What would you hope to see for people that you listen to this show on communication or in the auto repair industry in general? What do you see as a good outcome of mutual effort?
I would hope to see a shift in the mindset of having your shop make those influential phone calls, the next day satisfaction calls or check-in calls or appointment booking calls. I think that has a much bigger impact than, like you said, the expense that isn't really an expense. It builds value and it so is inherently an investment in your company. I think I would love to see a boom in that mentality, and just because I think it would help these shops grow and expand.
Yeah, well said. The industry has still an image issue that it's overcoming at the same time as all this is still emerging. And I think these things that we can leverage now do build trust, transparency, and actual authenticity. Don't tip too far into automation, folks. Keep it authentic.
Yes, I agree.
I think I heard you say it too. Hire someone to focus.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And it's an entry position too. A lot of shops, it'll get people on the ground running. The more like,
there you go. Help the youth out.
So good. I think there's so much untapped potential in that stuff. Man, I love it. Yeah. Help the youth out. Might be the title for this. No, I don't know yet. What has your experience been as a client in auto repair shops, or just your general perspective of the industry before versus now?
I guess when I started working at AppFueled, I learned about the new kind of culture behind automotive shops and how they're kind of renovating and using different vocabulary to make it a more polished experience.
Not just mechanics, repair specialist.
Yes. And like renovating the shop to make it look more clean and to kind of play on the psychology of the customer. So learning about that was kind of interesting. And then I went to get an oil change about 2 months into this role. And I looked around and I was like, oh, wow, this is really happening. And I was like, I kind of noticed like the psychological impacts on myself. I was like, oh, it does kind of make me trust that my car is kind of in the best hands. And I don't know. It was kind of interesting to learn about how it affects customers and then see it happening in myself.
Yeah. It's not like pulling into a dark, greasy cave with a grumpy guy that wears coveralls or whatever. It's clean. It's professional, bright.
It's a whole different culture. Yeah.
Yeah. If that were the way it was out of the gate, I think we'd be in a different position today as a true profession for sure.
Yes. And next is apps.
Yeah. I still don't know. I'm like, Jeremy, I uninstall apps like all the time on my phone. I'll use it temporarily and then delete it. I'm one of these nerds on that stuff, though. I like clean desktops. There's barely a shortcut on my screen. I don't like stuff cluttered on my device.
I'm kind of the same way. I was reorganizing all my apps the other day, actually. And I was like, wow, I have a lot of like fast food apps or just kind of stuff like that, where I was like, I don't know, the loyalty aspect and the building stars. And I don't know, for me, I noticed that really works and pulls me in, because I was just kind of surprised to see how many apps I do have when I put them all into that folder.
Yeah, Jeremy is a mastermind for getting engagement. And I think he thinks about it in some really unique ways. So, well, we wish him super success as he continues to develop with that. And we're so happy to see you again on growing with his team as well and what comes next for you. So do keep in touch. I look forward to hopefully seeing you at one of these conferences that we all go to on occasion.
Yes, I've heard about him.
Otherwise, I'm going to have to get to Idaho. I keep saying to my wife, too, we got to go meet Jeremy over there sometime. But it's going to have to be in the mountains.
We'd be happy to have you.
Nice. Awesome, Quinn. Well, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your Friday and have a great weekend. And we'll let you know when this stuff goes out and airs.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good one. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that conversation that I was able to have with Quinn. I think she has some unique insights, and we welcome these new voices to our new professional, sharper, cleaner aftermarket today. Hey, if you have something to add, I do want to hear it. Please reach out to me. speakup@craigoneal.net. O'Neill is two L's. We appreciate hearing from you on any thoughts you have related to this topic, any comments, feedback, or suggestions for topics you want to hear more about. And I also encourage you, please remember, listen up to the other shows on the Aftermarket Radio Network, Carm Capriato's Remarkable Results Radio, Diagnosing the Aftermarket A through Z with Matt Fonslow, Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest, the Auto Repair Marketing Podcast with Brian and Kim Walker, and the Weekly Blitz with Coach Chris Cotton. Once again, thank you to our sponsors. Thank you for joining us today. Now, get out there, listen up, speak up, and remember to make new opportunities for the youth. Thanks.
You've been listening to Speak Up, Effective Communication with Craig O'Neill on the Aftermarket Radio Network. Follow Craig on your favorite podcast listening app and on his YouTube channel. Let him know what you'd like him to speak up about. Craig is all for advancing the automotive service aftermarket.